Let's read the word of the Lord. Isaiah 10, verse 27. If you want this, you just put your hand out right now. Say, Lord, I want this. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. We know your Holy Spirit is here among us. Lord, we just pray right now for the yoke to be broken in Jesus' name. We pray for the anointing, for the oil, that it would crush the yoke that we've been living under, that it would remove the burden that's been on our shoulders. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And so I'm just praying that people walk out light today, free of the yoke they've been under. Jesus, we know that's who you are. You're the Redeemer. You're the Restorer. You make all things new. You refresh people today. I just feel a refreshing coming upon people in this room today, people that are hungry and desire to be set free from everything they've been living under. Lord, I pray that the burden be removed in this moment. Jesus, let your oil just run. Let it flow through this room. Jesus, consume us. Let our fire burn for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your will be done today. Lord, we honor your word from the front to the back. Every line, every sentence, every paragraph. Lord, we honor you because we know the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, thank you for coming and confirming your word. Father God, we just honor you. We honor your word. We honor your Holy Spirit, your presence in this moment. We just give you glory. Jesus, in your name, we just pray, have your way in us. Amen. You can have a seat. Oof. I love Nate Baker. I mean, yeah, he's a man that loves the Lord, and he loves his word. You cannot say you love God and say, oh, I don't really love the word. I like some of it. You can't just say you love God and pick and choose the parts of the word that you like, that you're in agreement with. You can't do that. No. If you love God, you love each and every piece of this word that he's given you. It's who he is. You don't get to pick and choose. You can tell when the word gets deep inside of somebody, they're different. Nate's just different. Some of you, you're here, and this is your very first time here, and you're kind of like, that guy seemed like a little much. That was a little too much for me. It's the word of God. It separates you. It separates you. And I got to tell you something. Sometimes the anointing, the oil, it stinks a little bit to the world. Because you've been living so long in the trash, in the garbage of this world, all of a sudden something that is pure and holy, it doesn't smell right to you. But God is going to change your senses today. And all of a sudden, you're just going to be sitting there and the scent of oil is going to be fresh to you. And all of a sudden, you're just going to get it and you're going to get the revelation and you're going to say, there's something different. Oh, it's the word of God. And I think that's what I need because everything I keep doing isn't working. It's just broken. It's not right. It's gross. It's disgusting. I'm just living in my shame. I'm living in darkness. I'm living in wickedness. And that's what the oil does. It reveals everything. The oil is the Holy Spirit. And every page of this book is drenched in his presence. And so it's a little uncomfortable sometimes when we've just been consuming and eating from the world. And we've just been hearing the world's watered down gospel. Everybody's going to be okay in the end. We all just kind of end up in the same place. It's all good. Yeah, Christianity's fine, but so is this, and so is this, and so we're all going to get to the same place, and it's going to be good. No. What does light have to do with darkness? There's a separation. There's a distinction. Darkness flees at the light. Darkness is offended by the light. And so if you're in here today and there's just, you start to hear some of this word and you're just like, well, that, I don't know about that. I don't think I like that. And you kind of get a little mad, a little angry. I just want to challenge you today. That's not the truth. The truth will set you free. Look with me here. Go back now to Isaiah 9. Actually, I'm going to go even further back. I'm going to go Isaiah 8. If you got your Bibles, Isaiah 8, verse 19. Isaiah 8, verse 19. And if you want my notes today, it won't help you for this first passage because it's not in there. But you can text Rev Notes, all one word, to the number 94,000. And you can get most of the scriptures I might use today. Just like what Brother Nate was saying. I mean, there's times where it's like sometimes the Lord just gives you a download and you sit in his presence and you prepare. And sometimes he just says, all right, good. I'm glad you spent time with me. But now here's what I really want you to say. That was just for you. This is for the people. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Lo, the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Lock that in. Verse 20, highlight it, underline it. I don't know if you've been in a place where they just kind of said some stuff and they were just like, maybe you've been in a church and they're like, well, that's Old Testament. If you've ever been in a church, and maybe you still go to a church, but you're visiting today and you're just like, well, I'll check out this crazy church with my friend because they said I should check it out. But the church you've been going to, they keep saying, well, that's just Old Testament. That's just Old Testament. It doesn't matter. No, no, no. It matters. Each and every piece matters. So if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There are places that claim to be churches, but they do not speak according to this word. They are not a church. They're just a nonprofit 501(c) that you're getting a tax write-off from. It's not a church. If it's contrary to the word of God, it's not a church. His house stands on his word. And so listen, some of you, you're here today and you're like, oh, shoot, that's me. God had you here for a reason. Don't be like, oh, this guy's calling me out. I'm not calling you out. He's calling you higher. He's calling you higher. He's calling you higher. If they do not speak according to this word, I could sit here for the next 30 minutes and I could just say verse 20 over and over and over. And it would just hit again and again and again. It's just like a knife. It's just like, that's what it is. It's sharper than any two-edged blade. He tells us that, and it just keeps cutting and cutting and cutting. And all of a sudden, you get the revelation, oh my goodness, I haven't been speaking according to the word of God, because all of a sudden it hits you, I've compromised. I've made compromise. I've made mixture. I've kind of mixed what I like about God with what I like about the world. You cannot worship both the Lord and Baal. You cannot worship Yahweh and Baal. Don't worship the gods of this world. Don't worship Asherah. Don't worship Baal. Not even a little bit. And some of you, you're like, oh, it's just a little bit of mixture. If somebody gave you a glass of water and they just put just the tiniest little speck of, I don't know, what's something gross? Dog poop. I don't know. That's gross. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit. Aren't you thirsty? Don't you want some water? That ain't water. It's unclean. It's dirty. That's the Lord's heart. That's his heart. I know. I feel like he's coming after me in this season. Like, and I feel like he's coming after all of us because he's saying, if you don't keep fighting forward, you're going to backslide. Don't let my people backslide. You don't backslide, son. Don't let them backslide. Because there's moments that you're going to justify and you're going to say, well, I've come pretty far. That's the temptation. That's the spirit of this world. That's religion. That's an unclean spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. And there's a spirit that will speak to you and say, well, you've done enough. You've come far enough. That's religion. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying, there's more of me. Keep chasing me. Keep chasing me. I was reading this book this week, and it's called God Chaser. And this man, he tells this story of when his kids were little, he would play hide and seek. And when he would hide, like, what did he want? He wanted them to chase him, to find him. Was he really trying to win the game and never be found? No. Like, he would do things. I started thinking about the times I played hide and seek with my kids, and I would just be like, you know, just like, you know, you'd cough a little bit. You'd kind of knock on the doors, you know. You'd be like, I'm here. Like, you want them to find you. And some of you feel like God's been hiding, and he doesn't want you to find him. He wants you to find him. You're going to find him today. You already found him, some of you. Some of you already found him today. You already found him. He's here. He's here, and he's meeting you here in this place. But guess what? He wants you to find him every day. He wants you to chase him when you get home, to spend a little time with him. Don't turn on the TV right away. Sit in his presence. Chase him. Chase him. And you're like, I don't feel him. I don't hear him. I don't know him. Keep chasing. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're just going to be walking through the hall, and you're going to see his foot hanging out the closet door, and you're going to be like, that's my dad. That's my dad. Because he wants you to find him. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. He loves you. Man, I just feel joy for somebody. Somebody just got that joy. Like, you got the joy of the Lord. Like, the spirit of heaviness is coming off somebody because you thought he was hiding from you, that he didn't want anything to do with you, that he thought your sin was just, it was too ugly, it was just too gross. And he just said, no, I want you to find me, and I'm going to give you new clothes to wear. I'm going to give you robes white as snow. Don't you want that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Man. Verse 21, they will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. But the truth is, if you would just seek him, he can be found. Chapter 9, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This is for you. This is for you. You know, don't forget that you were once in darkness. Don't forget that that was once you. Don't grow arrogant or entitled in this season. Don't look down on those who are in darkness. Remember, this was once you. And he shined a light on you. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. He's the one who breaks the yoke. And I was talking to somebody recently, and they were just telling me they're a believer. And they're a believer, but they haven't been in church for 3 years. And that revelation just hit me. Are you, maybe that's somebody in here. You're like, I'm a believer. I believe in God. My faith is just personal. Well, are you really walking in accordance to his word? If you love me, obey my commandments. Do not neglect the gathering of believers, it says in Hebrews. It's a big deal to stay a part of the body, but some of you have been away for a while because you just said, no, I'm fine. I'm just kind of doing it on my own. I got my own personal faith. Who told you that? We say that a lot. We say that a lot around here. This will set you free because all of a sudden you'll start to realize, you'll start to trace it back. Who did tell me that? Did that come from the word of God or did it come from man? If it ain't come from the word of God, if you can't find it here from the front to the back, then throw it out because it's trash and it's demonic. And so there's people that have been going about just saying, oh, it's my own personal faith. I'm just spiritual. I think Nate was talking about that, right? He was just talking, I'm just spiritual. We've just been kind of on our own journey. And you know, and we've just been experiencing God in our own ways, you know. It's just been good for us. You know, and sometimes it helps us experience God when we smoke a little. If I just get a little high, then I'm close to God. No, you're opening doors to demons. That's not the Holy Spirit. You don't need any kind of drug or any kind of help to access the presence of the Holy Spirit. You don't. You don't. Invite him in. It's that simple. He loves you. He wants to be found by you. No. And so I was talking to these people who I love dearly. And they were just sharing, hey, we've just been, you know, kind of doing our own church and just kind of our own thing. And it's just, it just hit me. And then they kept going. And I was talking about the promises of God and what his word actually says. And they're like, well, we're supposed to struggle. Life's supposed to be hard. No. It's because you're doing things your own way and you're outside of the blessing of the boundary of the Lord. If you would just step back into obedience, there's a blessing there. And it doesn't have to be that hard. Your kids don't have to run away from the kingdom into the world's hands. They don't have to run back to the devil. If you're planted in the house of God, if you're planted in the word of God, let me tell you, there's a blessing there. There is. There's provision. There's protection. There's his presence. Man, don't run from his presence. Don't run from his presence. Who told you that? Who told you it's just supposed to be hard? It's just supposed to be a struggle. You know, that's just how life is supposed to be. No. I told her. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. The oil breaks the yoke. You're living under the yoke of the world. You're living under demonic oppression, and he wants to set you free. Be free today. Man of God, woman of God, you're in here today. Be free today. In the name of Jesus, he wants to set you free today. You don't have to live under that anymore. Who told you that? Who told you it's supposed to be this hard? Who told you it's supposed to be this much of a struggle? Who told you you're supposed to be sick? That's not the kind of suffering that Jesus was talking about when he said you would suffer for the gospel. There'll be family that will hate you. There will be. I'm living it right now. I got family members right in our church saying I should be fired. Pray for me. Pray for me. I saw your face. Pray for me. Pray for me. Like, I don't care. I know who's got my back. I know it. And I'm praying and believing that the scales are going to fall off people's eyes in this city. The scales are going to fall off the eyes of those in my family who've been blinded by the truth and the promises of his goodness and his grace and the power of his Holy Spirit that is still moving, that's still setting people free, that's still healing, that is still delivering from the demonic. Some of you are here today and you've experienced it. You've experienced it and you know it's true. You know it's still for today because you've been set free. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've conceived miraculously when doctors said you would not conceive. And sometimes you just got to look back on how God has delivered you and how he's parted the waters and how he's still walking with you. And some of you, you're just not satisfied yet. You're like, well, I've seen him do that and I've seen him do that and I'm not satisfied yet. And, well, yeah, he doesn't want you to be satisfied in the wilderness, so step into the inheritance. He wants you hungry in the wilderness because there's more. He wants you hungry in the wilderness because you haven't arrived yet. Stay hungry. Keep chasing Him. Keep chasing the promises of God. Even when it's hard, even when it's discouraging, even when the devil is trying to get you to doubt, hold on tightly to the promises of God. Hebrews 6:12. Go to Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12. I think that one might actually be in your notes today. You can just scroll on down to the bottom. Hebrews 6:12. Let me see here. Yep, that's it. Man. This is so good. All right, I'm going to go back to verse 9. It's too good. It's too good. Hebrews 6:9. But, beloved, like, just know. Sometimes, I know sometimes people come into this house and you're like, that pastor yells a lot. I love you. All right? I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil that's trying to deceive God's people. And so I come after the devil hard. I come after demonic oppression hard in this house. I want to see people healed, set free, and delivered in the name of Jesus more than anything. I do. I do. He's so good. He's so good. And so if you're ever like, he's yelling at me, I'm not yelling at you. But if you feel that way, there might be a demon that he wants to set you free from. And I believe that. And so if there's some thoughts, if there's some demonic thoughts, some oppression, some heaviness that you came in with today, I'm just believing you're not going to leave with that heaviness. You know, we were singing about that. Pastor Andrew was singing. My goodness, the anointing on that first song, those first couple songs, man, it's just all three songs, everything in worship today. There was healing and deliverance and freedom for people in worship today. You took off that heaviness today, and you put on a garment of praise. That's what some of you did. You didn't understand it. You didn't know what was going on, but you took off the heaviness, and you took it off for the first time in a long time, and you laid it aside, and it's because some of you started to sing for the very first time ever. Some of you started to raise your hands because you're like, there's a lot of people raising hands here. It might be okay for me to do that. It is. It's good. In fact, it's a prescription in God's word. God's word is medicine. He prescribes the raising of hands, the shouting. Some of you hear people shouting here during worship, and you're like, whoa, that's a little crazy. That's a little charismatic. No, it's the full gospel. Yeah, it is charismatic. It's the full gospel. It's the Holy Spirit. We're moved by power, and we want more of Him, and we want to honor Him. And so what do? We follow His prescription for praise, because when we follow His prescription for praise, it takes off the heaviness. And oh my goodness, it begins to set people free. And so you choose what you wear when you walk into this place, and when you walk into your home, and when you walk into your job tomorrow. Wear a garment of praise everywhere you go. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. And all of a sudden, things are going to feel less heavy and hard and like a burden. And you're going to find joy and gladness every place you walk, because the Holy Spirit walks with you, because you acknowledge Him and you praise Him and you give Him thanks everywhere you go, because everywhere your foot treads, you're taking territory for the King of Kings, and you're taking it back from the devil. You're taking it back. I love you. You're always with me. You're always with me right there. It's like anytime I need somebody to just come into agreement, you can come into agreement in this house. You can clap. You can praise. You can say amen. All we're doing is coming into agreement with the Word of God, and we're just giving Him glory and honor. Here's what it says. But, beloved, I love you. When I speak to you, I love the church. I love this church. Pastor Steph and I talk about it all the time. It's an honor and a privilege to get to serve and lead this church. When we started this thing in our house in December with just a small little meeting of about 8 or 9 of us, and we just started to dream about what kind of church God was calling us to build, this is not what I imagined. This is not what I pictured. It's better. I had all these ideas, all these delusions of grandeur, these foolish, like naive, fleshly thoughts of what a church should look like. But praise God, I learned how to listen. No, I didn't learn. He taught me. I can't take any credit or glory. He taught me to listen to His voice and submit to Him in this season of planting and building His house His way. And He's created something better. I didn't know about praise and worship. I thought praise and worship was just kind of like time filler until the message. Because I was a preacher, and I thought, man, I just want to preach. And then he taught me, no, if you don't know how to praise and worship, like, you've completely missed it. The number one purpose of the church is to worship him. Number two, we equip the saints. And then number three, we prepare people to send them out to win people to the kingdom. We come in here and we worship him first and foremost. And then we equip and we build up the saints. And then we send out. Some churches get it backwards. Some churches get it a little twisted. Some churches just, they kind of lose focus. And in this season, he's just taught us, hey, regain focus. Regain focus on me and my presence, and all these things will be added. You're so worried about all these other things. No. Just focus on me first. Right now, you got some things going through your head. I want to fix this. I want to do this. I want to change this. Just focus on his presence. Begin to honor him. Begin to give him glory. Get into the truth of God. And all of a sudden, his truth will reveal the steps. He'll give you the plan. His Holy Spirit, he'll speak to you. He'll give you directions. He'll guide you into the right path. Listen to him in this season. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. There's better things. Some of us, we've been settling for the lesser things, but we're confident of the better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. There's some churches, all they know and all they teach is salvation. Hey, we just got to get people saved. We got to get them in the water. We got to get them to say yes to Jesus. And then they don't know where to take them. They don't know how to equip them. They don't know how to send them out. And so they just kind of stay there and they stay stuck. And they're like, this is the best we have to offer. And they miss out on life to the full. But my goodness, he wants better things for you. He wants all the promises for you. It's his word. His word heals. His word saves. His word carries you through the dark times into the victory from glory to glory. Don't you want to move glory to glory? I'm just a wreck right now. Like, don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? He's wrecking us. He's tearing up something in your chest, and he's separating your chest cavity, and he's doing heart work right now, and he's taking a scalpel in there. Don't you love that imagery? He's the God that takes a scalpel to the hard places of your heart and just begins to remove them and cut away from them. That's what his Holy Spirit is doing, but he will not force his way in. You have to invite him. Say, yes, Lord, come, come, come. Holy Spirit, please do your work in me. Have your way in me. Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Diligence. Does that mean we get saved, we get in the water, we get baptized, and then we just kind of put it into cruise control? No. We're diligent to pursue him, to chase after him, to run the race that's set before us. Because if you're running forward, you won't backslide. But if you're just standing there and you've just kind of put it into neutral, the winds of this world will begin to just push and push and push. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to find yourself in a drift. And all of a sudden, where one day you were moving forward with him, but then you decided to put it in neutral and you stopped moving, the winds just begin to push and you begin to roll. And it's slow and gradual at first. In fact, you don't even notice it. And then all of a sudden, before you realize what's going on, you've gone so far back and you think, oh, well, I'm already here anyway. Maybe I should just see what is for me back here. Don't backslide. Don't put it in a neutral. Let's chase him in this season. Chase after him. There's more. When we do encounter night, we're not just doing like, this isn't just a concert. Like, hey, come out for this concert. No, it's a chance to chase. In this season, show up for encounter night. Show up for prayer on Wednesday. There's no excuse. We got our kids' stuff back, so you know there's childcare. Show up for prayer. Come get in this room on Wednesday night. Because it's time to chase again. It's time to run again. It's time to listen. It's time to play hide and seek again. He's not hiding that hard. That's so good. He's not hiding that hard. He loves you. He wants you to find him. He's waiting for you to chase. Do not become sluggish. How do we backslide? We become sluggish. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So many times we're in the church and we play this game, this comparison game, and we kind of see the blessings for somebody else. We see what God is doing in their life, and we're like, well, God's not doing that in my life. We see the harvest that somebody else is reaping. That's great for Nate. He got that great harvest. Well, God's not doing that for me. And we just get bitter. Too blessed to be bitter. Too blessed to be bitter in the name of Jesus. Don't forget that. Hold on to that. You're too blessed to be bitter. Don't worry about that. You celebrate with your brothers and sisters what is going on, the victory that they're experiencing, the fullness of life, what they're getting to go through, what they're getting to see. You celebrate with them. And what do? You imitate them. You say, I see Brother Nate, and he's chasing, and he's walking in obedience, and he's learning Scripture, and he's getting it down deep in his soul, so deep that when he gets up here and he grabs the mic, what happens? It just flows out of him. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? I feel like we got to just get hungrier. You thought you were hungry? No. You didn't realize. There's a different level of hunger that he's taking us to in this season. There's a different level of hunger. And so my prayer is that we begin to get hungrier than we've ever been in our lives. Would you just get hungry this week? Would you wake up 20 minutes earlier and meet him? Play hide and seek with him. Open up the word and see how he shows up this week. Begin to open it and read it and see it. If you don't know where to start, start with all the scriptures and rev notes today that I didn't get to, because there's some good ones. There's some good ones. Chase him this week. Chase him. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter at those that you see reaping the harvest, that you see experiencing life to the full, that you see living the life that you wanted, that you desired. Imitate them. Get close to them. Get close to those people and begin to ask them questions. That's why, you know what? When people come in here and they're struggling or they're having a hard time, there's people in our house. We're growing crazy right now. God's going to give us a building soon. I don't know when. I don't believe we're going to be here long. I'm standing on a promise, and I'm holding on to it patiently because that's what it says to do. I believe he promised he's going to give us a building. He's going to give us a bigger building so we can keep growing, we can keep reaching. We'll fill that one. He'll give us something bigger. He'll give us more because he's the God of exceedingly abundantly more. That's who he is. That's what his word says, and we stand on those promises. And so when people come in, I can't handle everything already. We're already at that point, and so I send them to people. There's people in this house that I send people to. And I tell them, you need to go talk to Carrie. You need to go talk to Carrie. Learn how to imitate Carrie because she's a prophetess. She walks with the Lord. She listens to the Lord. I'll tell people, you need to go talk to Nate. You need to go get around him. Why? Because his faith is so great. You got just some doubt and some skepticism right now? Get around a man or a woman of faith. Get around somebody that's hungrier than you, that's running harder than you, that's chasing after the Lord a little bit faster than you. Don't get bitter towards them. Don't get jealous towards them. No. Get near them. Get close to them and say, I want to learn how to run. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jeez, I can't even breathe. This is so good. This is so good. He is good. That's who we're clapping for. It's him. It's him. It's him. I come into this place on Sunday mornings with nothing. Nothing. I sit with him during the week. I come in here and I'm like, Lord, couldn't you give me a sermon a little bit quicker? Lord, couldn't you give me a nice outline with A, B, C? Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you're hungry for me, aren't you? Yes, I am. I'm starving, Lord. I want more because I don't know what to do. Some of us, when we don't know what to do, we run from him. But he's the only one that can feed us. He's the bread of life. Do you feel that? Like he is blasting us. Like he's just, just the fire of God is falling on people right now. There's faith being built up. There's some of you, you came in here and you were at a one or a two. You're like, maybe. And all of a sudden you're like, I think there might be something here. There's something there. Open it up. If you don't got one, get one. We'll get you one. We'll get you one for free. We'll get your kids one. We got the Action Bible out there. What? That's reading. Yeah, you can read a comic. There's still scripture in. Oh, it ain't free? I don't know. I mean, if somebody wants a Bible, finance team, we're giving away Bibles today. I don't care how much they cost. The Lord will provide. Like, you don't think he's going to provide for his sons and daughters to have the word? Like, we'll give away a million Bibles. I would love that. Let's do it. Let's give away a million Bibles. Let's give Bibles into every place where we know that there are none. Like, let's do it. We did it this summer. We partnered with Gideon's, and they came in and gave all of our kids at VBS, they gave them this little New Testament Psalms and Proverbs Bible, this little tiny pocket Bible, and it was so cute. All these little kids were just running around, just holding it, and they were just loving it, and they were just carrying it with them. None of them can read, but it's hilarious. Like, they love it. Like, they can't even read, but they know it's valuable. And some of us, we take it for granted, and we can read, and we never touch it. We never touch it. Get hungry. Get hungry. Get hungry. Eat the word. He'll satisfy you. He's going to satisfy you like no meal ever could. I just feel like people are going to open up the word today and you're going to be more satisfied than you've ever been in your life. I think this is a word of knowledge for somebody. I feel somebody is like sick in their stomach. There's some kind of sickness. He wants to heal you today. So our worship team's going to come up. We're going to get ready to play. Our ministry team's going to be forward up here. If you feel like there's something going on with your stomach, if you need healing for your stomach, don't hesitate. Get up here to our prayer team, to our ministry team. I feel that really strongly right now that there's somebody in here. You're just feeling sick. Like you're not well. He wants to make you well. He still heals. What was that passage in Exodus, Nate? 15:26. Exodus 15:26. There's healing for his people. It's part of the promises. And some of you are like, well, that's Old Testament. Who told you that? Because guess what? When you begin to read the words and the letters of Paul, what does he do? He quotes Old Testament. He quotes Old Testament. He quotes Old Testament. In fact, what does he do? He writes down promises from the Old Testament. Why? Because they still matter and they're still true today. Ministry team, would you just come up here and be ready to receive somebody today? And we're going to pray in faith. We're not going to pray double-minded. We're not going to pray, well, if he can, we know he can. There's somebody else coming today for prayer, and I want to chase, and I'm hungry for prayer, and I believe it. I believe it so strongly. Somebody, they had somebody sick in their family this week, and they reached out, and they asked her, they said, does your church pray for healing? Yes, we pray for healing because we believe he still does. He still does. Hebrews 6, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. This is not a sluggish church. It's a church that chases. Some of you are like, oh, no, I can just kind of kick it. I can just kind of relax. No, no, no. It's chase season. Write it down. It's time to chase. You were beginning to slow down. You were running the race so well. You were sprinting these last 4 years with us. You've been sprinting. You've helped build this church. God has used you in mighty ways. And you were beginning to slow down and look around. You're like, oh, there's a bunch of new people in this church. They can kind of serve. They can do some things. I'm kind of good. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to teach kids downstairs. I don't need to read as much. I don't need to go to prayer on Wednesday. No, no, no. He's calling you higher. He's saying it's chase season. Don't stop chasing me. There's more. There's more. the everlasting God. He's eternal. Don't put him in a box and think you got him all figured out. There's more. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Some of you, you're feeling a little discouraged. You came in today discouraged, and he is wiping it off your shoulders because you are being renewed. You're being renewed and made new because we mix faith and patience to hold on to the promise of God. And so you were a little discouraged. The only way the devil wins is if you quit, if you grow impatient, if you stop waiting on the Lord. But if you'll continue to wait on the Lord, be still and know that he is God. I'm telling you, deliverance and healing is in his wings, and he's coming in. He's coming in. Thank you, Lord. Woo, okay. Hosea. I'm finally going to get to some scripture in here. Hosea 14. This is my intro. I'm going to be here for 2 more hours. I love this church. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. It was just a stumble. Just get back up and run again. You might have tripped coming in today, but he said, you just stumbled. You're returning to me today. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. And if you haven't said yes to him, say yes to him today. Become his. If you've been stumbling over and over again, it's probably because you're going the wrong direction. Repent. Repentance is just turning back and saying, Lord, I want to go your way and not mine anymore. Lord, I'm done going this way. Repent and say, Lord, have your way in me. I want you as Lord and Savior. You have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. If you got one, hold it up. Hold it up strong. Take words with you. Take this with you everywhere you go. I take this everywhere I go with me. I got it in my backpack. I'm walking around with it. I'm carrying it into restaurants for meetings. I'm carrying it into coffee shops. Just, I don't even care. I'm taking it with me. I'm going into a finance meeting. I'm not going without it. Some of you are like, oh, it's just numbers. You don't need that. No, no, no. He's got it. He's got every truth I need for every area of my life. Some of you, you're going on dates. You're like, I don't need this. No, no, you need this. Put that on the table. Put that on the seat between you and her in the movie theater. All right? Lay your hands on this, not her. Come on, unless you're married, then hey, praise the Lord, go ahead. Lay hands. In the shoot. This is why Brennan calls me the gunslinger, you don't know. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Take away all iniquity. Receive, oh man, put your hands out to the Father. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Sacrifice to him today in worship. Sacrifice. You haven't sang it yet. You've been holding back. Your lips have been shut. I release you in the name of Jesus from all doubt that's been holding you back from singing praises to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ Almighty. Let's stand up and worship. Take the word with you. Take the word with you today. Don't backslide.